by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Everybody say, turn. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to the land and his house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Would you stretch your hands toward me and pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is enriching. Your word is liberating. Your word sets the captives free. Jesus, you said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who were held captive. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just take this word and implant it in every single person's heart here today. I'm asking for a genuine move of the Spirit, a stirring, a moving of the Spirit. Father, I'm asking for healing in our lives, healing in our hearts, healing in our church, healing in the city, healing in the land. God, we're asking for healing in the land, and you've told us what needs to happen in order for that to take place. And so, God, I pray that we would not just hear this today and that we wouldn't say it's for somebody else, or we wouldn't say that I've heard that message before, I've heard the scripture. No, this word is a word fitly spoken, and it's a rhema word. It's a word that you've given us right now in the season that we're in. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would stir us up with the fire and the wind of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the wind would blow and the fire would burn, and that you would be glorified in this place. I pray that these altars, Lord, and these pews would be filled with hungry and thirsty and prayerful people, a prayerful people and a repentant people before you, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers. The Lord just been stirring me up, church. The Lord has just been getting a hold of my heart. I told the ministers at prayer conference on Thursday morning for 3 solid days, and even before then, before I ever got to the prayer conference, every time that I got down to prayer, I began to call on the name of the Lord. I couldn't pray without crying. I couldn't pray without weeping. I believe that God is calling the church to get back to that place of shedding some tears and getting real and getting serious in the presence of God and praying until you know that God has shown up and that he's breaking your heart and he's doing some things inside of you. You're getting rid of the accursed thing. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, because when they went into AI, they couldn't stand before the people because there was an accursed thing in their midst. And God, I believe, is trying to tell the church of God, he's trying to tell you and me, it's time to really get down to business in prayer and get down to business with our relationship with the Lord. It's time to stop playing games. Right now is the time to seek the Lord like we've never sought Him before. And He tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, He said, if you will seek me, you will find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. He said, rend your heart and not your garments. In other words, I don't want you just to go through some external observance and go through a ritual. I want you to truly get your heart where it needs to be with me. If it means laying on your face, then lay on your face. If it means walking around and seeking the face of God, it's really not about the posture. It's about the position of the heart. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need healing, church. We need healing. And He tells us exactly what we need to do here in this passage. First of all, He tells us about a people that desire healing. Are you a people? Are we a people that desire spiritual healing? Do you even see the need for healing? You see, first of all, it takes our eyes being opened to see that there is a need. I'm telling you, there is spiritual darkness that's coming over this land. There's spiritual darkness that's trying to come over the church. There's spiritual darkness, the cloud of heaviness and darkness that's trying to come. But I believe there's a remnant right here at the Biltmore Church of God. There's some people that hunger enough for God and they're thirsty enough for God to say, I will not be a part of, for a lack of better phrase, the chosen frozen. But I'm going to be alive in the Spirit. I'm going to be alive in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm not going to settle for the status quo. I'm not going to be lukewarm, but I'm going to be on fire for God. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord, and I want to be a part of those He's pouring out His Spirit in the last days. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Jesus is coming back for an on fire church. He's coming back for a church that's praying. He's coming back for a church that's seeking His face. He's coming back for a church that doesn't have to be primed in worship, but they're coming in with their hands lifted up. They're coming in with their voices lifted, and they're singing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's coming back for a people that desires revival, that desires to walk in the power of the Spirit, that desires to function in the spiritual gifts, that desires to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that desires to see miracles in these last days. I believe that God wants to send miracles again to the church. And it starts on our knees, church. It starts on our knees. This verse is a specific prescription to a special people. If my people, say it with me, if my people. Revival must begin with the people of God. Right? Because that is where the Bible says the judgment of God will begin. Well, I don't want to hear about the judgment of God. Well, listen to what the Word of God says, 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? We need to understand something about revival and healing in the land. Revival is not for the sinner. It's for the saint. It's for those who say they have a relationship with God. And I believe in some ways have grown cold and indifferent and allowed a lukewarmness to settle in. I'm telling you, the Lord's been stirring me up. Here's what I told him at the prayer conference, and I'll share a little bit more in just a little bit. But I said, God has called you and I to set an example to the people which we lead, because if we are not taking care of ourselves and if we're not seeking the face of God ourselves, how are we going to lead people to do something we're not doing ourselves? And God has been stirring me up every single day. It's not just a little bit of praying we need to do. We need to get down and pray until God moves, until God breaks through in our lives. Don't you get get up until you prayed through. That's why the old timers would see revival. That's why the power of God would be poured out in their midst. It's because they wouldn't just settle for a little bit of the Spirit. They said, I've got to have more. There's got to be more. There's a power from God. There's a breakthrough in your life. There's a Holy Ghost anointing that will destroy the yokes of bondage in your life. And joy and peace will come flooding in again in your soul. He said, for I will pour my water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Anybody thirsty for God in this place? It's time to get hungry and thirsty again for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. It's not pagan America that needs healing. It's the people who are called by his name. Yeah. You see, we want to say, well, it's because of what they're doing. Maybe it's because of what we're not doing. It's time to get back to praying, church. I mean, really praying. I feel like the Holy Spirit said to me during the prayer conference, start calling prayer meetings. How many of you would come to a prayer meeting if I called prayer meetings? Well, that's pretty good. Raise your hand. I want to see that. Hallelujah. They tell me if you can get about 20% of your people that will actually come and pray, I mean really get serious about praying, it would change your church. Anybody here believe that? I believe it. If we would truly get serious about praying and fasting, seeking the face of God, it would change our culture. Does anybody here believe that we can still pray in the lost? Does anybody here believe that God can lead you to the lost in our community and we can reach a generation that is dying? Anybody believe? It's got to start there. It's got to start on our knees in prayer, church. Secondly, note the pride that deters the healing. He said, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves. The word humble literally means to bend the knee. Humility is the one essential ingredient of healing and revival. You see, the reason why we don't have a move of God is probably because we haven't gotten low enough yet. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 8, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as has a contrite spirit. How long has it been since you've wept before the Lord because of people who were lost, and that you want to see a move of God in these last days, and you don't just want to go through religious motions, but you really want to see a move of God? I believe God wants to move us to brokenness, because the Lord saves such as have a broken and a contrite spirit. Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Isaiah 66 and 2 says, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Do we tremble at the word of God? Do we believe what it says, and that it's for us today, and that God can move in our lives right now? Proverbs 16, or 6 and 17, we're told of seven things that God hates. The very first thing is a proud look. You see, the reason why we don't have more faith in God in America is because there's not more fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to rediscover fear for God. People don't have a fear of the Lord anymore. We need to rediscover fear of the Lord in the church. God is a holy God. He's a holy God, church. He deserves reverence and fear. I don't mean you can't approach God. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who tore the veil in two from top to bottom. And because of that, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But we need to have a fear for God again, and a fear for the things of God, and a fear for His Word, and what He says is going to happen to those who do not obey the gospel of God. We have a responsibility to lead the way in this world, to lead the way in this community, to lead the way where we live, to set an example. It is pride that causes us to be prayerless. Because the man or woman who does not pray is the man or the woman who says, I can do just fine without God. I can take care of all this on my own. We need to ask God today, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. I believe the Holy Spirit is just trying to stir us up as a church to get real honest and get really gut level honest and say, Lord, search me. Search me. Would you do that? Just put your hand on your heart right now. Search me, oh God. Would you just say it with me? You mean it? Search me. Search me. Search me, oh God. Search me. Turn on your flashlight, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, God. Stir me up by your Spirit. Give me a burden for prayer. Give me a burden for the lost. Give me a burden, Lord, for a move of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thirdly, notice the prayer that demands healing. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, it starts with bending the knee and getting rid of the pride. But he said, then I want you to pray. Prayer is the Christian's hotline to heaven. And it's so tragic that we don't use it more than we do. We think that a move of God or revival comes from organizing it, more from organizing than it does from agonizing. Revival has never taken place in any church or any city or any community without prayer. You search all the revivals of our history. And you'll see that revival came on the wings of prayer. It wasn't on preaching. There was still preaching going on. But every one of them will attribute prayer as the foundation and the source for the move of God that took place every single time. Every single time. Do you believe that God would honor us if we would come together on a regular basis and just praying for a move of God? In our midst, do you believe God would honor it? The question is, do you believe it enough to actually put it into action and practice it? Leonard Ravenhill once said, the church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. The church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. Now, this is not about the posture, because not everybody can get on their knees and pray. How many know that God will hear you walking around praying? God, no matter what the posture is, that's not what I'm talking about here. It's the spirit and the motivation and the desire of the heart that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You can pray without having revival, but you cannot have revival without praying. He said, I want you to pray and I want you to seek my face. The word seek here literally means to search out and to look for with intensity. We are looking for solutions to our problems when we ought to be looking to God, because He is the solution to our problems. Individually, as a church, because listen, it's not just this church that needs revival. I'm talking to pastors all this week. They're needing a move of God. We need a move of God in Western North Carolina, all over this state. We need a move of God in America. We need a move of God everywhere. And I was so encouraged as our pastors came together and we just sought the face of God and praying and seeking the Lord, because we can't do anything without prayer. Past Thursday, like I said, I preached at the state prayer conference, and I want to share just a portion of some of the things that I shared with the pastors who were there. How many times do we put the cart before the horse and in essence say with our actions, because we probably wouldn't say this verbally, I don't have time to pray. We allow busyness and distractions to consume us, And there can be many distractions that we face, but one of the greatest distractions we face in our lives today is this right here. You got one, right? Just about everybody in this place has got one, except for maybe a few people. I recently started a new practice in my life. When it's time to pray, the phone goes on airplane mode. You know it's got that mode, right? Oh, as a matter of fact, it's actually even got a button on it that will allow you to turn it off. It'll actually go off. I know some of you probably don't even know it's even there. But that phone will actually turn off. Inevitably, when it's time to pray, you will get a text or a phone call, and we must, like never before, choke out distractions to pave the way for intimacy with God. If we're going to get closer to Jesus and we're going to be men and women of prayer, then we've got to make it happen. It's not just going to automatically happen. It's going to happen because you make it happen, because you're intentional to pray and to seek His face. Many of the things we focus on are good things. Phone calls, text, administration, visits, sermon preparation. I'm saying this to all those pastors, but the enemy is subtle and crafty. We must discern the enemy's deception to focus on what is good at the expense of what is best. Satan doesn't mind if we wear ourselves out doing ministry as long as we're not spending time in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, go ahead and wear yourself out. Do, 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 do. But when you forget to be His and to be with Him, you will burn out. You will get disillusioned. You will get sidetracked. And the enemy will get your focus on what is going to bring destruction to your life, and you won't even realize it. Until you've gone way down the wrong path. Are you hearing me? In Luke 10, Martha's work in the kitchen was important, but she was distracted by much serving. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha. He said her name twice because He really wanted her to listen up, right? Martha, Martha, you're troubled and worried about many things, but one thing is needed. Everybody say that with me. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part. It will not be taken away from her. Why? Because she just wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. She just wanted to sit at His feet. I believe the Lord is trying to bring us back to that place where we just want to sit in His presence, sit at the feet of Jesus. And out of that relationship comes our doing. Out of that relationship comes our vision for our lives. Out of that relationship comes, this is what I need to be doing today. This is what I need to focus on. This is who I need to minister to. This is who I need to help today. It's out of that relationship, are you hearing me? That the doing becomes more clear. If Jesus determined that regular, consistent prayer was a necessity in His life, how much more should you and I emulate that example? Jesus needed regular, consistent, disciplined prayer. He said in Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, He said, pray without ceasing. In Philippians 4:6, He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everybody say everything, everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's an important ingredient, isn't it? We need to thank Him before we ever see the answers, before we ever see the breakthrough. We need to thank Him in advance. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you know it's not, our prayer lives should not just be about our prayer request. They need to be about first and foremost being in the presence of the Lord. But out of that relationship, He said, I want you to bring your prayers and your supplications. I want you to roll them over on to me, and I'm going to give you a peace in your life. It surpasses all understanding. A peace. A peace. Then he says, pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Everybody say turn. Turn. That word speaks to repentance. That's what it speaks of there. Prayer alone does not move the heart of a holy God. It must be sincere prayer that flows from a broken heart over sin. I don't know about you, but my heart is broken over sin. Is your heart broken over sin? Is your heart broken over this abortion issue in our country, just to name one of them? Is your heart broken over it? Is it broken enough to really seek the face of God and to cry out to God, for God, forgive us for killing innocent children in this country. God, forgive us for our murder in this country. God, please forgive us. You know, a lot of times we want to say, Lord, forgive them. But what we need to do is include ourselves in that prayer. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. Forgive this nation. We have sinned. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, another way of saying it, if I allow sin to remain in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Wow. You want your prayers to be effective? He goes back to that, search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And when, if he reveals anything, repent of it. Confess it and repent of it. Confession, I'm agreeing with you, God, that it's wrong. It doesn't need to be there. Repentance is saying, you know what? I don't want to participate in this anymore. So I need your grace and your strength to go the opposite direction that I'm going now. That's true repentance. Isaiah 59 and 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I do not want God's face separated from me. I don't want his, I want him to hear me when I pray. How about you? When it comes to being healed spiritually, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. You can't, you can let go of your sins and have revival, or you can hold on to your sins and have no revival, but you cannot have both. You cannot have both. We need renewal and revival. The word revival comes from the Latin word made up of the prefix re, which means again, and vivo, which means to live. So literally it means to live again. To quote Charles Finney, he said, he gave the best definition of revival I've read. He said, revival is nothing more than a new beginning of obedience to God. It's nothing more than a new beginning of obedience to God. You can't have the power of God in your life if you don't have a desire to obey Him. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. You can't have revival unless you're willing to obey God. There ought to be a desire to grow in obedience. Do we always get it right? No. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't try to seek Him with my whole heart, my whole soul, everything within me. There's only one obstacle, revival. It's not humanism or communism or even socialism. The only obstacle to revival is unconfessed, unjudged, unforgiven sin. And there's only one solution to sin. Repentance. What is repentance? It's an important word to understand. An action to put into practice. It's a turning away from sin, disobedience, or rebellion, and turning back to God. In a general sense, it means a change of mind or a feeling of remorse or regret from past conduct. How many know there's something wrong if you don't have a feeling of remorse of the things that you have done that are wrong? How many believe there's still a right and a wrong? That's one of the things that we're struggling with in our country, because we don't want to teach that there's right and wrong anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. There is still a right and there's still a wrong. There's still absolute truth. And the Holy Spirit, when we're not doing what we should be doing, will convict us of sin. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to convict you and me when we have not done the things that we should be doing. And the Holy Spirit will convict us when there's things that we should be doing that we're not. It's also called sins of omission. You've got sins of commission and sins of omission. The Holy Spirit will convict us. And when He does, that is a beautiful gift. You ought to rejoice that you can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you sense remorse, that you sense guilt. And then He comes and washes you in His precious blood and clothes you in His righteousness, and the guilt is gone and the shame is gone and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we cannot put the cart before the horse. We've got to start with repentance and understand that the Holy Spirit brings remorse for purpose. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Repentance. Repentance. What does that look like for you? You alone know. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak to us on an individual level. For some of you, it might be stop robbing God of tithe and offering and start doing what's right. Some of you, it's just, Lord, forgive me for my prayerlessness. Lord, I can't make it without You. I need You more every day. Forgive me for trying to do this on my own. I don't know what it is for you, but the Holy Spirit can talk to you. And lastly, I'm trying to bring this to a close. If we meet these conditions, I mean, there's conditions, right? There's conditions. He said, if my people. It all starts with the word if. It's conditional. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. By the way, seeking His face means I'm not just seeking Him for what He can do for me. I'm seeking Him for who He is. One of the things that we were challenged with at the prayer conference was, pastors, stop praying and seeking the Lord just for a message to preach on Sunday. First and foremost, you should be praying and seeking the Lord for your personal relationship with God, because you need Him more than anything else. It's about renewing that intimacy and that one-on-one communion and fellowship with God. And out of that intimacy flows that word that God has for the people. He said, then I will hear from heaven. The promise that delivers healing. Here's what He said. He said, if you pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Can you just praise the Lord for that right now? He will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. He will forgive your sin. Praise the Lord. And He will heal your land, our land. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the healing of the land starts with us as individuals? It starts with us right here. He will heal our land. The word hear means to listen to a point where you are moved to action. When God hears, God heeds. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And then we're promised God's fruitfulness. I will heal their land. That word heal in the Hebrew is the word rapha. That's a good word to end on, because we, as a nation, let's just face it, we are sick, in need of healing. Things are broken. How many of you know that Washington is broken? It's broken. But instead of just sitting back and saying, gosh, I just wish they could come together. I wish that they would either build the wall or not, just not build the, decide something. Right? I mean, everybody's probably got a different perspective on it here today. But I tell you what God has called us to do. He's called us to seek His face. And to lift up our president and lift up his administration and lift up those who are in Washington. Pray for them. Just sit back and criticize. How much praying are you doing? Oh God, we need you to come and heal our land. God, we're in need. Woodrow Wilson's last words to the American people were these: our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually. Wow. Our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually. But we seem to have that backwards, don't we? Put all of our trust and money in the economy. No. How many know that God can just pull the rug out from underneath us just like that? Where we're going to be left then. God has blessed you and me. He's blessed us so much. He's blessed this country so much. And this country better start blessing God again and honoring God again. Or I sense that something catastrophic is going to happen again in this nation. To get our attention. Oh God. We need to lead the way, church, in praying and seeking the Lord. Revival needs to start right here with me and you. You want to see revival? You want to see a move of God in these last days? You truly want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Would you stand with me right now and make your way to this altar as quick as you can get down here if you're physically able to.